I want to talk to you about what's on my heart for 2017, what I felt like the Lord has for us as a congregation, as a people, maybe as a nation. I look back at 2016 and I look back and I'm so thankful for all the great things that happened in our congregation in 2016. I just want to thank you once again for allowing us to be your pastors. For Carrie and myself, it's one of our, it is the greatest joy and delight is to be able to pastor you, to be able to preach the word, to come up here on a Sunday morning. I so value, I so appreciate, I am so thankful and I am so humbled that I get to get your attention on a Sunday morning and preach the word of God, and you listen and you take it in and you allow it to change your life. It is the joy and delight of our life to be able to be your pastors, and so for that we thank you so much. But we also want to thank you for who you are. We want to thank you because you love God. I want to thank you because you love people. And you know, this year we've changed the lives of so many people. We had 60 folks in a brand new Carpenter Series class, our foundation class. We had so many people get water baptized, get filled with the Spirit. We had so many people start a walk with Jesus Christ that's been absolutely incredible and didn't even know that they could have it. I tell people, new ones that come here, give me 1 year of your life. Give me 1 year, and I believe you will be transformed by the power and by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's not just hearing the word, it's the community of people and the involvement and all of that that happens that encourages us to move on and be more and more of what God wants us to be. So thanks for loving God. Thanks for loving others. Thanks for living for God and not just for yourself. Our theme last year was put the Bible in the mix in 21:6. And we wanted to talk about reading the word, and we want to continue reading that word and doing what the Bible says. And as I said, in 2017, we're going to be reading the Old Testament. And if you need help on getting it on your phone, remember, you can have it read it to you. Push a button on that app. It will read you that section. There's no excuse at all for not getting through the Bible. You can just simply read it while you're putting your makeup on or while you're driving to work. It's very, very simple to do. You can get through the Word of God, and more importantly, the Word of God will get through you in a powerful and a wonderful way. I think about this year, what does the Lord put on my heart? I shared it on New Year's. It says this, anchored to heaven in 21:7. Anchored to heaven in 21:7. The operative word here is heaven. Heaven is used 728 times in the Bible. It's an important concept because it's our eternity. It's where we will dwell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It's an important concept in the scriptures. It's an important concept in our life, but we seem to be aware of the natural and the worldly in our day-to-day, and we forget about the fact that we are going to heaven, we are from heaven to heaven, and we need to be living heaven here on this earth. We talk about our mission. Our mission is to make devoted followers of Jesus. Devoted followers of Jesus. I don't use the word Christian because everybody calls himself a Christian. I want a person who is following Jesus. And when Jesus says, don't go there, they don't go there. And when Jesus says, hey, take a right here, we take a right there. Because they're following him. They're becoming devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Hearing and doing what the Word of God says. And it also says here, in community. That's why it's so important that we're in a small group. Because we're in community. It's together. Just going and doing your Christian life all by yourself becomes difficult. But when you're in a community of people, and we're walking arm in arm, and we're walking together, and we got someone who picks us up when all of a sudden life seems to knock us down, that is where we have the victory in Jesus Christ. It's because we need him, but we also need the context of community. We need one another. And thirdly, I say here, empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's our mission. That's our mission. And I want to read a card. I got this card from one of our guys who's in Hawaii right now. He's graduated, and he's going to come back in a couple of weeks, and he's going to volunteer for a number of months. But here's what he said. Greetings from Waikiki. Oh. We have a winter wonderland out there, and it's absolutely beautiful. But summer is coming, Lord. Let it come, Lord. He said, thank you for all that you have blessed me with over the past few years at Living Faith Fellowship. You guys have been key in the movement that God has done in my life. And I'm trying to read it here. And really the launching out into the next session of my life. Coming to WSU, I would never have dreamt of where God would have me be. Thank you for giving so much of all of your resources to ensure that the next generation, me, are launched into all that God has for us. You know, I think that's the greatest joy I know that Carrie and I have is to see the great things that God does in people's lives. Whether you continue on in here or the vast majority that are gone from here, it is so exciting to see that God is continuing to work inside of their lives in such a powerful way because they have an amazing and great foundation. Anchor to heaven in 21:7. If you'll stand with me, we're going to read at least our opening scripture. I have a number of them for you this morning, but we're going to read our opening one in Matthew 6, 9 through 10. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You may be seated. It's a quick one. I appreciated the prophetic flow. I appreciated the words of Mel. I don't know if anybody saw and knew all of the notes and what I was going to do. But we have this concept of our Father in heaven, hallowed, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth. How? Just like it is in heaven. He wants heaven to come down here on earth. This is God's plan. He wants his kingdom to come, not yours, not mine. He wants his will to be done, not mine. He wants heaven's reality to be on earth. He wants heaven's reality to be on earth. It's the job of us Christians to allow that reality to call for his kingdom to come, to believe with him that his will would be done in us. We can't change a world and expect God to change all of them if he doesn't change all of us. And in changing us, our influence changes them. Are you being changed? Are you anchored to heaven? Do we think about heaven, or do we think about the day-to-day issues of life? And I know we have to think about those things, but do we think about them in the context of heaven, the context of eternity? The word heaven, ouranos, it's the abode of God. By implication, it speaks of happiness, power, and eternity. True happiness comes as we live in the principles of heaven, not earth's. True happiness in our life is not when you get all the things this world has to give you, but when you're living in the principles of the kingdom of God and you're following God's plan for your life, true happiness that satiates your life, that makes you glad you're alive, comes when we have those principles of heaven alive and walking in our life today. We are to live longing for heaven's reality. Lord, I want more. I want more of what you have in heaven, Lord. I want to see it here on earth. Lord, we long for more. We long for that reality to be here, to be present day, not someday. And there's a great someday. It's going to be awesome. But there's something of today God wants here. There's something, a glimpse of heaven that God wants here because he says it. He taught us how to pray. To ask for his kingdom to come, for ask for his will to be done, to ask for heaven to be showered out upon this earth's atmosphere, that its reality, its principles, its ideologies, its concepts, its motivation becomes ours. Heaven, eternal things, full of power, true happiness. It's God's home. Are we planning, thinking, acting for temporal or for eternal perspectives? Do we live day to day consumed with God's purposes? Are we heavenly minded, or are we too much into the things of the world. Get too bummed by what happens in the world. Let me tell you, don't get too bummed by what happens in the world. It means we're too attached to it. I want to be excited about the reality of what God promises is coming. And are we believing for that? Instead of being discouraged, oh my gosh, the earth is going to hell in a handbasket. No. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to light my candle. I'm going to curse this darkness. I'm going to put a face on Jesus Christ and the community around me. When I go to Walmart or when I'm up at school or I'm at my job, I'm going to put a face upon what it means to live for Jesus Christ so that the world can get a hope and something greater than just getting its own way. You know, sometimes when you just get your own doggone way, after you get it, you kind of don't like it. It doesn't taste as good. But when you have a purpose and you're fulfilling God's plan for your life, and it may be difficult, but it's so rewarding to know you're doing something that will last for all eternity. Abraham and the men and women of faith knew that they were sojourners here on this earth. They knew that they were just passing through. They knew they were pilgrims. The word pilgrim means an alien, a resident foreigner. The word sojourner, I'm going to go through these scriptures in a moment. The word sojourner is a person who for a period of time lives in a place which is not his normal residence. We're sojourners. This is not our normal residence. This is not home. You're not living at home. We're just visiting. We're sojourning. We're passing through. This isn't home. There's something greater. There's something better. There's this concept of the reality of heaven. And heaven, he talks about on earth. Something amazing. Something amazing. Abraham knew he was just passing through. You're not from around here, are you? You're just a little bit different. You're just a little bit different. You're just a little bit different. You don't do it the way that everybody else does it. You don't respond the way everybody else does. You don't try to get what everybody else is trying to get. You're just a little bit different. That's what we're supposed to be. A little bit different. When Jesus Christ came, people looked at him and said, hey, he's just a little bit different than the rest of us. He acts differently, walks differently, talks differently. His concepts are, if you want to gain your life, lose it. Duh, I don't get it. The way up is the way down. He comes with different thoughts. You're just a little bit different. The best compliment you can get by anybody is you're a little different. Yeah? Hopefully, my Jesus is showing. Hopefully, my Jesus is showing. Does the world know that about you, that you're a little bit, just a little bit different? Everybody say this. I'm just a little bit different. Yeah. You're just a little bit different. Does the world see that in you? We're different because we're just passing through. This isn't home. So the way everybody else relates to the earth and everything they got to get and grab all the gusto while you can, all of that they're doing is different for us. We're just passing through. We're just passing through. These, in Hebrews 11, it says this about Abraham and all these men and women of faith. It says, and these all died, these faithful people, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, a whole list of men and women of faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed. What did they confess? What did they confess? What did you say? What did you say about yourself? What did you stand up and go, I am a... That they were strangers. What's our confession? I am a stranger. I am a pilgrim. They were John Wayne lovers. Pilgrims on the earth. We're strangers. We're pilgrims here. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. We're seeking something else. Thank you for all this. This is great that we eat and all. We have, but I'm looking for something just a little bit different. And truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out of, they would have had opportunity to return. What's he saying here? He's talking about Abraham. He left Ur, the Chaldees. He left Haran, and he comes to the promised land. But if he, and it was somewhat difficult at times, he could have remembered and gone back home. Home that he thought was home. Or the children of Israel, as they came out of Egypt in the Exodus, and all of a sudden getting to the promised land, it's a little bit difficult. Some wanted to go back to Egypt. Back home. What about us? Back to the old man, the old lifestyle. I'm walking with the Lord, and it's different. It's difficult. It's tough. And the world keeps going, hey, come back. Come back. Remember how at home you were? No. You weren't at home. You weren't at home. You're becoming more at home as you follow the Lord. It says, but now they desired a better, that is a, say it with me, heavenly country. A heavenly country. They wanted something heavenly. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared for them a city. A city. The earth and its system is not our home. We are just visiting. We are just passing through. We are strangers. We are pilgrims. We are sojourners. Heaven is the system that we're to live in. It's our home. Why don't we fit in? Because we are never intended to fit in here. Now, when the kingdom comes, we fit in fully in its fullness. It's coming. But we were created for something different than just worldly things. You were created to fit in with the heavenly dimension. That's what satisfies us. That's what the world has so looking for, because they attain everything the world has and they just want to get out of here. Kill themselves. They just don't fit. Because we were created to fit in the kingdom of God. In a heavenly realm. In a spiritual realm. Here on this dirt, we can bring it. We can bring it. We can bring it. 1 Peter 2:11 says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, remember this isn't your home, abstain from fleshly or worldly or earthly lusts, which war against the soul. These worldly things aren't good for you. It's not your home. It's not good. Leave it alone. Move toward the heavenly dimension that God has for you here and now. Bring down the kingdom. Bring down heaven. That's our job while we're here. In Philippians 3, 18 through 20, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Do you understand? God's trying to get us to understand where we're supposed to be living. What concept, what principles, what mindset we're to have while we're sojourning. Who set their minds on earthly things. And then I loved, the prophetic word said this, for our citizenship is in heaven. If you look at your driver's license or your passport, your hometown is heaven. Where are you from? I'm from heaven. Okay, you're a little bit different. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. My citizenship, my home is in heaven. It's heaven. It's heaven. Hebrews chapter 6. This hope we have as an anchor. I'm talking about being anchored there, anchored in heaven. Our mindset, our philosophies, our ideologies, our everything about us comes from this source called heaven. We're anchored there, not here. Not letting the news guide our life and what we should think and believe and not believe. We're letting this guide and think what we believe and don't believe. We're letting the things of the principles of the kingdom of God saturate our mind, our understanding, our will, our intellect, and causing us to walk just a little bit different. Different. We have this hope as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Talking of the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies behind the veil, where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the presence of God said he dwelt. This is prior to what Christ did for us on the cross, but it's an analogy he's using. Where God abides. Where the forerunner has entered for us. He's talking about what Christ did for us. The forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus having become the high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. He's talking about this anchor we have, this anchor we have. And how did the anchor get there behind the veil? The anchor got there behind the veil because Jesus Christ grabbed hold of the anchor. He grabbed hold of the anchor and he took it behind the veil and he anchored it in there, this place called heaven. This place called heaven. I'm tangled up in my anchor. Curtis, fix that. We need one another. We need help. Help me. Help me. Our forerunner. He took it from this earthly perspective, and he dropped it in a heavenly perspective, and we, hurry up, Curtis. Hurry, Curtis. Help me quicker. Help me faster. Help me, Lord. He took it. How are we doing, Curtis?
Doing great. Still.
The Lord is timeless, but Lord, we have a time zone here. Okay, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. We're getting there, we're getting there, we're getting there. Our forerunner. Who's our forerunner?
Curtis.
All right. Woo! We're attached to this. Our forerunner, Jesus Christ, took the anchor and anchored it in the presence of God. Amen. It's where we're anchored. It's what we're holding on to. Yeah. When you're living day to day on this earth, we may be here, but our anchor is in heaven. You're holding on to the promises, to the realities, to the concepts, to the ideologies that are found in heaven. That's what's to govern our life here. Anchored. I love it. Jesus is our forerunner. The Greek word for forerunner was used in the 2nd century AD of the smaller boats sent into the harbor by larger ships unable to enter due to the buffeting of the weather. The smaller boats carried the anchor through the breakers inside the harbor and dropped it there, securing the larger ships. That's what that word forerunner means in the Greek. Jesus, our forerunner, took it into the harbor, into heaven's realm, and anchored us there. And we're living from this reality now. All right, I feel secure. Are you holding on? Are you secure? Or are we just letting go? The enemy will always get you to try to drop the rope. God will always get you to hold on to the reality of what he has for us. An anchor, it prevents or restricts the movement of a boat. There's a number of anchors we have up here. All of those anchors used with a ship to anchor us so that the ship doesn't drift. So it doesn't drift away. We are anchored so we cannot drift. Why does God want us anchored? So we don't drift around. So we're not just out there, boop, 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 out on the sea, just, hey, I'm just going wherever. And all of a sudden it gets a little more tougher. And all of a sudden we're in wrong waters and we're shipwrecked. You know, we're anchored to keep us from drifting. We must make sure that we do not drift in our theology and in our practice. When I think about orthodox, you know what the word orthodox means? Orthos means straight or right. Orthodontist straightens your teeth. Ortho means straight or right. Doxa means opinion. Right opinion, orthodox, right opinion, or to straighten you out. The whole idea of orthodox is make sure that we walk on the straight and narrow. We are to be orthodox in our doctrine, but contemporary in our approach. We can be contemporary and do all sorts of great things and gather people and touch and get people to enjoy what's going on and laugh. And all. But we need to put inside of a person's mind and brain and heart the realities of what the scriptures say and stay true to the word of God. And it's a society where anything goes. Anything goes. Our doctrine is to keep us on the straight and narrow, anchored to the truth. We are to help straighten out people's thinking and opinions so they are right. But today, anything goes. You are the basis of your own truth. What is truth for you? But that's not true. That's a lie. Well, truth is what is relative. No, truth is truth, whether you understand it, believe it, or not. You see, God wants us to not walk in the broad theology of anything goes. He wants us to walk in the narrowness of the truth. Hear that statement. God wants us not to walk in the broad theology of anything goes. He wants us to walk in the narrowness of the truth. Let me give you the scripture, Matthew 7. He says, enter by the narrow gate. He's speaking. Jesus is giving us, hey, enter by the narrow gate. I'm going to tell you what door to choose. All right? He's telling us. If you're really smart, you'll know which one to pick. Because he already told us. Pick the narrow one. Hey, but there's a lot of... No, pick that one. That one's hard. No, pick that one. But this one's easy. Everybody's doing it this way. Everybody's going... No, pick that one. He's already telling you. Have you ever... You know when you used to watch, well, Let's Make a Deal? Is that still on? They do Let's Make a Deal. You pick door number one, door number two, or door number three. I remember you pick... You know, you get all excited and you pick one of the doors and it's your door and all of a sudden you got a zonk. It was like some crazy, stupid thing. If you pick a door other than the one Jesus Christ has told us to pick, I guarantee you, regardless of what it looks like at the front, you will be zonked. It's not going to go good. He's telling us, enter by the narrow gate. For wide, spacious is the gate, and broad is the way. Let me define that. It's the word easy. What he's trying to describe here is easy. Oh, it's wide, it's broad, it's easy. That leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult, let me say it this way, hard is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it. You know what our job is, church? It's to take the few and make a many. Is to take the few that find it and find the many who don't have it and make the many part of the few. So the few become many. That's what we do as a church. To help people come to understand What does this word teach? How am I supposed to walk? Well, it's confining. It's constricting. Exactly. But it's the door Jesus Christ told us to pick. The easiest voice to hear is the devil's. The easiest voice for anyone to hear is the devil's. Because the devil, the cosmic creator, the one who's part of the cosmos, the world system, is the one who's speaking out there in the world. It's the easiest voice to hear. Go ahead and do it. It's okay. Now you can do it. Hey, listen, you deserve it. You deserve it. You deserved it. You deserve it, man. Go and do it. It's okay. Don't worry. No. It'll be fine. He loves to stretch the truth and tickle your ears and appeal to your flesh. It's easy to hear the devil, but it takes some effort to hear the voice of the Lord. A quiet time. Oh, I got to go and get quiet. I have to spend some time, quiet time, get quiet before the Lord, read my Bible, get infilled with what the Word of God says. Think about it. Talk to God about it. What are you saying about this verse to me? I'm feeling a sense of uneasiness about this. Lord, what are you saying? Yeah. I want to change you there. Oh, but Lord, I'm scared. I don't want to change you. I don't know how to change. It's going to be okay. I'm going to help you. But what if I fail? It's going to be all right. I'll pick it back up. It's okay. We're going to make progress. We're going to get going. It's going to be all right. You see, God wants to speak to you. He wants to change you. He wants to fill you with heaven's realities while you dwell here as a sojourner on this earth. And the only way you can get that is by spending quiet time directed toward the Lord. Because the enemy will speak to you in the middle of every rush. He'll speak to you all the time. Now, the more we hear the voice of the Lord, hopefully the more we can hear him in those bustling times too. We get keened in to what the Lord is saying. Get alone with God. Get quiet. Read his word. Play his word. Listen to his word. Talk to him. I don't have enough time. Talk to him in your car. Talk to him while you're walking to school. You got to do that. Walk to school. Put those headphones on. Don't put anything in them. Just put them on. Nobody will bother you. And then just talk to God. Put the noise-canceling thing. That's a big deal now. Noise-canceling. Knock the world out and just listen to what the Holy Spirit may say to you. Anchored to heaven at 21:7. He wants to speak to you. He wants to talk to you. It's easy to walk in the flesh. It's a broad gate. It's not confining. It's spacious. There's freedom to do whatever you want. It's hard to walk in the Spirit. It's the narrow gate. It's confining. It's limiting. It's obedience to what God wants. But it's what rings true to our soul. The broad way is anchored to the earth. It's worldly. The narrow way is anchored to heaven. It's godly. You know, there's a commercial out there. I'm not advocating you watch it because I think it's a commercial for Cerveza. And it talks about the most interesting man in the world. He's the most interesting man in the world. And they have all these little quotes that go with him. He's the most interesting man in the world. Mosquitoes don't bite him out of sheer respect. He played college football in high school. He's the only man to ace the Rorschach test. His personality is so magnetic, he's unable to carry credit cards. When in Rome, they do as he does. Sasquatch has a photo taken of him. He once gave a prep talk so compelling, both teams won. If he mispronounced your name, you would feel compelled to change it. People hang on every word, even his pronouns. It's It's not true, is what it is. You see, the most interesting man in the world is not this man. It's Jesus Christ, the man, the God who became man, the man God, our Lord and Savior. He's the most interesting man. And you know what he said? Because it's interesting. What this man says, the most interesting man in the world, he says, stay thirsty, my friends. And what Jesus says is stay true, my friends. Stay true. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Stay true. Society is so humanistic in its thinking and its values. We need fixed points that don't float around at the whims of our culture, but stay on the straight and narrow. Anchor to heaven in 21:7. I believe it'll be a year of the miraculousness of God. Let me come through with this last thought pattern, a couple of scriptures as we kind of come. In our reading yesterday in the Old Testament, that's why we're reading together, right? In the Old Testament, we find Jacob running from Esau, his brother, on the way to Haran because he deceived his brother. He got the birthright. He's taken off. And he has an encounter with God. Now, Jacob went out from Beersheba and he went toward Haran. He's on a 450-mile trek. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and he put it at his head and he lay down at that place and he slept. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth and it reached to our operative word, heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending, and behold, the Lord stood above it. And the Lord blesses him, gives him a bunch of blessings, and he says this in verse 15, behold, I am with you, Christian. I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. I will never leave you until what I've done has been spoken to you. No matter what you're going through right now, God is with you. He'll keep you, and he'll never, ever leave you, even though it's difficult right now. But sometimes in the difficult situations is where we begin to understand more of the concepts of heaven than in our day-to-day life. We see a deeper reality. He goes on to say in verse 16, now Jacob awoke from his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. Duh. Heaven is touching earth. Surely the Lord is in this place, man. Then, and I didn't know it. Hear that. Surely the Lord is in this place. Say it with me. And I didn't know it. What are you going through? What difficulty are you going through? I didn't know that he was here. Teaching me principles, having me understand the principles and ideologies and understanding of heaven as I was going through this thing on earth that seemed so, so difficult. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. I didn't know he was there. Oh, he's there. He's there. And he was afraid and he said, how awesome is this place? Whoa. This place of difficulty, this place of hardship. Why is it awesome? Because God was there. And a reality, a supernatural experience was taking place. Heaven was coming down to earth. Jacob experienced the reality of heaven coming to the earth, and it was awesome. You see, when heaven touches down on earth, blessings are poured out. Thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are we crying out for that reality? When heaven touches down, blessings are poured out. Cry out for his kingdom to come. Verse 20, the results of this miraculous heavenly encounter with God. I love this. Verse 20. Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give to me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And the stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that I give you, and all that you give me, I will surely give you 1/10. From this miraculous heavenly encounter, is where we even get this concept about giving or tithing. Jacob realized that everything he had belonged to God, that everything he would acquire would be the blessing of God. And he acknowledges God as his source and supplier, and therefore gives back to him 1/10 of everything that he has. This heavenly encounter is where he came up with a revelation of God was his everything. He was his supplier. We acknowledge God as our source and supplier in all of our needs. People ask me sometime, why do you give so generously? Why do you give generously? Because it acknowledges God as the source and supplier of my needs and demonstrates my belief that he is my God. And you know what that opens up then? Miraculous encounters. Understanding. There's a God in heaven who wants his realities on this earth. There's a scripture, and we talk about it some when I pray for the offering at the very end, and or at the end of worship, and it talks about where the windows of heaven are opened up. It's in Malachi. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now, and says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of, our operative word again is what? I'll open for you the windows of heaven. I want heaven to open up. I want heaven to open up. I want heaven to open up in my life each and every day. And I'll pour out on you such a blessing. You won't have room to get it all. Try me, he says. When heaven opens up, blessings come down ridiculously. Ridiculously. Let's pray. Father, you're so amazing. I want to be anchored, Lord, to the realities of heaven this year. Not wandering or drifting. Not just looking at man's wisdom out there and how they're figuring out life. I want to be tethered to your will, tethered to your kingdom. Tethered to your realities, tethered to you as my source, tethered to the blessings that come. I want to be anchored, Lord, to you. I know it costs, because it's easy to walk the world's way. It's broad. And being tethered is confining, it's restricting, and I'm anchored to something, and I don't get to just do what I want. There's a great reality of what you have for us, what you want to open up to us and through us as we're anchored in heaven, believing you as our source, as our blesser, as our God in whom we trust. Father, help us this year. Like never before, to be anchored, anchored in those realities. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't know the Lord, I encourage you to come on up here right afterwards. We'll pray for you to receive Christ. Maybe you've been walking with him, you're backslidden. Maybe you're not anchored, you're untethered. You're going, oh my gosh, I'm grabbing the wrong rope. I'm over here. Oh, we'll get you hooked back up. It's very simple. You just ask the Lord, hey, ask him to forgive you, come back into your life. He'll do some amazing things. But sometimes we need someone else to be accountable with and to and to help us. Come, we'll pray for you. Maybe we need prayer for healing, prayer for something else that's going on in your life. Come on up here, we'll pray for you. And next week, we're going to start in this another adventure. 301, building your ministry. I'd like to say it more like this. Discovering who God made you to be. Uniquely, supernaturally, amazingly. We're going to talk about that. And I think you're going to love it. So I'll see you next Sunday. And again, thank you. Thank you for the privilege we get every Sunday to preach to you guys. You're amazing. And we love you. Love you very much. God bless you. Remember to go back to the back there. Amen.